Blog Talk Radio.
Be no more. You have the man that takes you inside what goes on in the world of sports. He's in the dugout. He's in the clubhouse. He's right by the water cooler. He is everywhere you need him to be to let you know what's going on. And also, you listen to the movers and shakers in the world of sports. You are found the right place with the legendary Doc Stanley on Sports
and Death. And if I may say that these sports in-depth nation is here. The Sports In-Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the store that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, good doctor.
Yeah, here we are. Back-to-back nights. Back-to-back times at Life Stadium. Just yesterday, they won their first preseason game of the season. And the Giants are kind of likewise as they're playing the Miami Dolphins here. And right now, they're up 10-3. It's been a host of non-stars playing. Jets won yesterday. Giants now with 4 minutes. A good 4 minutes left in the second quarter of a game that was a late toss of storm and lightning. 10-3 Giants with about a good 4 minutes left in the first half. And they are winning their football game. Back-to-back nights here. Yeah, Rodriguez is playing his last game at the Yankee. The Yankee Stadium, there's a horde of press there. A-Rod, his first time up, starting in a long time, doubled in a run on a night that will be kind of emotional. Historical, and questionable. Will A-Rod play again? That's a big question. And that will be answered after tonight. Jets, Giants, back-to-back preseason games. And we'll be talking to some of the panel. Trying to get Tate George Jones today. Talk some football. Some guys on interviews as we open up with a prayer. And we'll call Miles Davis. His halftime is coming up. Try to get some different people here to come join us and say hello. And, hey, back-to-back nights live here at MetLife Stadium in East Orange. East Orange. Rutherford, New Jersey. That's my brother James lives. Think about James today. Sports at Boston, great sister of radio. Always shouting out to Rosie, our number one listener. And sending congratulations to Jump Shot Jonesy, who today became a grandfather. Gave me a call, said, hey, Doc, we got no addition to the family. Try to get everyone to join us. You're talking about that, talking about basketball, talking about football, and the hooster. Hey, we're going to talk, though. But in all situations, we'll open up with a prayer. Other than John Coltrane, after cooling the gang. And let me tell you something, Summer Madness is exactly, it has been, smear soaking. High 90s and real field temperatures over 100. I'd like to let you know, I was working out today, and it was just, it had an ebb where it was, the hot air was, been so hot that the hot air was cool. Not so much in Caxias, Brazil. And that I always think about my beloved Tasha. Miss Bosa. Cool in the game. And Dolphins just recovered a fumble. And look like there's a very good chance they may almost get in the end zone. There's a rule on the field. The Dolphins and the Giants here. Giants up 10-3. As the game was delayed, too. Swear. That football game was delayed. But it was delayed. Lightning, rains. So the game was delayed. Transportation wise, I was on the train. So he couldn't come because of lightning. Let's go with the live here now. First and goal for the Dolphins at the Giants, about 7. First place went to the outside, and right now we've got a 10-9 football game. 3 minutes left to go. Dolphins have had made it 10-9, and this is after sack. But so now the Giants find themselves at a tie football game here. They'll have a tie. And we have a lot of football left here. Sports at Plaza Clearance Custom Club. They're live from that live stadium. So we'll get Tate George to join us here and talk a little football for us. And always open up with a prayer here too, which John Coltrane will do for us. Getting his halftime meal here. Give us some of the desserts that the ladies are putting out here for us. Little fruits and stuff. They're all here. The First Lady. Watching that blog talk right on the Dustin Gunner Network. The, thanks again, Happy. And so, let's go to John Coltrane. He leads us, as always, in prayer. And we'll see if we can talk to Tate for a little bit. See what's happening over at Yankee Stadium. And, see. The rest, they say, is history. But now, it is time to, I always like to shout out our number one listener, Rosie, can jump shot here to join us and talk about that new addition to his family, girl, too. So he's got a granddaughter. Imagine mine, Kayla. Kayla. He's my only granddaughter of the grandchildren that I have. John Coltrane. Hats off, gentlemen. Let's stop and give some homage to the one only true God. Dear Lord, we thank you for another day. More importantly, have your will, have your way, dear Lord. We thank you, Lord, for little things we so lightly take for granted. This morning, getting up last night, laying down clothes on our table. Sorry, clothes on our back. Food on our table, shoes on our feet. So Mother said we woke up this morning, the Lord laid down last night. If I ain't there around our heart, cast a little fear of forgiveness. I'll never rise up against us on Judgment Day. Thank you for the granddaughter given to our own jump shot. Thank you for the other blessings around the world that you have bestowed upon people. Thank you for my greatest blessing. Outside your darling son, Tasia. We love you. My mom's a dead, so my family. We just thank you, Lord. You know, as Job said, you can't be questioned. You can't be challenged. You are the one and only true God. We thank you, Lord, for even though the climate is hot, humid, we are here. We are alive. We are well. And we're able to cope with it. Sweetness, Spirit of the Lord, but don't, we don't stop our gratitude and salutation. We get up off our knees, but we don't stop our homage. We may stop talking verbally loudly, but inside, the gratitude, the prayer, the homage continues. We thank you, Lord, for yesterday, tomorrow, and for all great and wonderful things that come from you. In the name of your darling son, amen. When I came into the press box here, Bobby Giles said, I thought you would be at your second home. Those who say that Brazil is my first home. Because of Ibanima. A great song by Gilberto Green. Anytime we play Brazil, we think right away of our number one listener, Rosa. And keep her and your family in prayers. And that's also Lee Sanders and his family. I got some Lee copy of that last show we sent, too. My goodness. And we're near halftime here with the Giants and the Dolphins. Let's just play a little bit. That's where Brazil is, where numbers being played. Some updates there. We'll give you some information on that. But right now, enjoy the sounds of Brazil as our athletes all over the world are enjoying the greatest city in Brazil, Rio de Janeiro. Mostly now, my favorite spot has been Fortaleza. I've never been to Rio. I've been told I got to be there. But I'll question though, my favorite city right now is Caxias. I got me Ivanima, who I met personally. Stay back. This is the music. It's halftime. Just about 2:45 left to go. Giants and the Finns at 10 apiece. Jordan Mitchell, Doc Stanley, Sports Net, Blog Talk Radio, and the Trust and God Radio live from Bet Life Stadium. We'll be right back. No, we'll be back. This is the music.
When she passes, each one she passes goes. Você, meu amigo de fé, meu irmão, camarada. Amigo de tantos caminhos e tantas jornadas. Cabeça de homem, mas o coração de menino. Aquele que está do meu lado em qualquer caminhada. Me lembro de todas as lutas, meu bom companheiro. Você tantas vezes provou que é um grande guerreiro. O seu coração é uma casa de portas abertas. Amigo, você é o mais certo das horas incertas. Às vezes, em certos momentos difíceis da vida, em que precisamos de alguém para ajudar na saída, a sua palavra de força, de fé e de carinho me dá a certeza de que eu nunca estive sozinho. Você, meu amigo de fé, meu irmão, camarada. Sorriso e abraço festivo da minha chegada. Você que me diz as verdades com frases abertas. Amigo, você é o mais certo das horas incertas. Não preciso nem dizer tudo isso que eu lhe digo, mas é muito bom saber que você é meu amigo. Não preciso nem dizer tudo isso que eu lhe digo, mas é muito bom saber que eu tenho um grande amigo. Não preciso nem dizer
alegre que ser triste, alegria melhor coisa que existe, é assim como a luz no coração. Mas pra fazer um samba com beleza é preciso um bocado de tristeza, é preciso um bocado de tristeza, senão se faz um samba. Fazer samba não é contar piada, e quem faz samba assim não é de nada. O bom samba é uma forma de oração. Porque o samba é a tristeza que balança, a tristeza tem sempre uma esperança. A tristeza tem sempre uma esperança de um dia não ser mais triste, não. Põe um pouco de amor numa cadência e vai ver que ninguém no mundo vence a beleza que tem o samba, não. Porque o samba nasceu lá na Bahia, se hoje ele é branco na poesia. E hoje ele é branco na poesia, ele é negro demais no coração. E alegre que ser triste. Alegria é a melhor coisa que existe, assim como a luz no coração. Põe pouco de amor numa cadência, pra ver que ninguém no mundo vence a beleza que tem o samba, não.
And what we're going to do here, we're going to stop here. We got GW Mike quickly joining us here. So, GW, we get you for a second or two. And first of all, what's on your mind about the Sweet Science, GW?
Well, I got to be honest with you, Doc. It's funny you asked me because you must have a crystal ball. I can't say. It's amazing. I was sitting down after a night boxing workout. And as I'm stretching out, I had my wife come in, and we were talking, and I put on a video of Sugar Ray Robinson, and it showed a long video. Somebody put a video up of the Sweet Science definition, and I just couldn't believe how good that guy was. And, he did everything right. It just personifies excellence.
Wow.
There's such a
it's remarkable what you, ladies and gentlemen, GW, this is one of the guys who knows this sport. One of the connoisseurs, one of the true representatives of the Sweet Science. He said he did everything right. I mean, that's really mind boggling. You know, here's a guy who at one time was 131-1. He was the guy who brought about the term entourage. He was the guy who was Muhammad Ali's idol. All of the old timers, when they talk about the greatest fighter of all time, Bill Gallo, Art Russ Jr., it's Sugar Ray Robinson, Walker Smith Jr., born in Black Bottom, Detroit. And you say you look at the tape, he did everything. And what's remarkable about him, GW, is that he's the guy who at one time killed a guy in the ring, and that movie just takes so much out of a fighter, and you realize how great he was with the possibility of something being taken out of him. I mean, I remember he said after that fight, "I only fought good enough to win." For you to say he did everything right, you just validate the validity of him considered the greatest middleweight, the greatest welterweight, the greatest fighter pound for pound to ever step into a ring. He never got stopped in a fight. Never got stopped, never got TKO'd, you know, had 19 losses. Just, well, you know, that's a lot of ways like you with your mindset of this game. You know, I know you got to run. You know, you've got a couple of minutes. You want to say something else. You've got to shoot out. But, you know, Gordon Digest, what you got to say? I know you got to get back to the studio. But we thank you so much for joining us here. It's the Giants and the Dolphins here. It's 1 minute. No, it's halftime now. And
Doc,
the Giants and the Dolphins. Okay, if you got to go, G-Dub, no problem. We're just, you know, for you to validate the validity of what so many says about Sugar Ray Robinson, you know, the poetry and most. I never forget at a show Ali was doing, they were tribute to Ali, and Ali said, you know, God wouldn't forgive me if I wouldn't introduce this man. He said, my idol took his own cast out in the ring with him. None other than the great Sugar Ray Robinson, you know.
He was just an artist. And, Doc, let's not forget, before I go, and the other part of this, we have a great movie coming out with the great Robert De Niro, going to be playing Ray Arcel, veteran trainer, the Hands of Stone movie about Roberto Duran.
You know, you are so on the money. Sugar Ray Robinson's son said that his dad said his favorite fighter and the best fighter he ever saw was Roberto Duran. Remarkable that you know your genius is beyond compare. Sugar Ray Robinson's son said that Ray Robinson said the best fighter he ever saw and the guy that reminded him of him, Roberto Duran.
Hey Doc, remember one thing. The only thing I appreciate all the magnificent comments, but just remember one thing. Without my power circle of sports in debt and a mentorship under you, I wouldn't be nowhere near where I could be. So you remember that.
You humble me, man. You just, man, cut it out, man. Hey, Mike, all I can say about this, I love you too, baby. Love you too.
All right, my brother. I'll talk to you soon, all right?
Okay, kiss the wife and tell Peter I said hello.
You got it.
GW Mike, one of the, you really can't put into words, you know. There are a few people in any venue. In life, you have very few friends in sports. Him, Lady A, when you people hear him and Lady A, Dusty. You're getting an inside, in-depth look at boxing that's incomprehensible. And so glad to talk to him. It's ironically that he talks so much about, Ray Robinson and then Pam. He mentioned Duran. So it's just ironic, really ironic. And just something. Sports in the Block Talk Radio, Trust and Guardrail Network. Dolphins take a halftime lead here against the Giants. Last night it was the Jets who played their first preseason game and came back and won. Tonight it's the Giants, who are so good to get GW to join us up for a minute or two and take George to come over and talk a little football with us. I was trying to sneak in and get Joe Morris in here for a minute. Maybe I can, maybe I won't, but we'll see. Trying to get Bobby Childs, but Bobby is a little taken back by different things, too. So with that, looking for George, looking for also for Jump Shot, new grandfather, who just joined the ranks of granddad. And we want to thank him, as he said, that we have also become grandparents or uncles or aunts with the inception of his granddaughter, born earlier today. Trying to look if I can catch up with, but I don't think he should tonight. I think with the radio broadcast, Carl Banks won't be here. Carl Banks has a birthday this month, the 29th of August, which is a day I remember so much because it's my father's birthday. And that, ironically enough, it was John Francis J. Wakanda's birthday, who was my godfather, all intents and purposes. Timmy's godfather, but he was mine too in the media world. And also the birthday of Charlie Parker, considered to be the greatest alto tenor saxophone player in the history of jazz. And Miles Davis' idol. And it's the birthday, too, of my nephew Jay, and also the birthday of Michael Joseph Jackson. Man, my dad, my godfather, Michael Jackson, Charlie Parker. August 29th. It is a halftime here now. It's the Giants and the Dolphins, and it's game number two in 2 days of football here, where it's the New York Jets yesterday, and New York Giants today, Thursday, Friday, back-to-back football preseason. Jets won their preseason opener against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Giants trying to do the same thing against the Miami Dolphins. We'll be right back. And we played some music to Girl Me Bonima and continuing with our tribute to Brazil, the first Latin country ever to have Olympics. And I propose it would be in Rio de Janeiro. Now, you know, Rio de Janeiro, Rio is the way you pronounce it in Portuguese. It wasn't the first capital of Brazil, as it is now not the capital anymore. The capital of Brazil is Brasilia. But the first capital of Brazil was Bahia. And, you know, some of you know the story, Philadelphia was where the White House was. And it was moved during the administration of George Washington to from Philadelphia to Washington, D.C. Thomas Jefferson opposed the move. And Washington called Jefferson in and told him he understood, you know, his feelings about it. And he understood that Jefferson had the power and the clout to sustain the movement that would have not allowed it done. And he asked Thomas, you know, what concessions would he have to give to get both his blessings to move. And one of them was that Benjamin Bonnemaker would be the architect, or among the architects that would design the President's House at the time. It was the White House, and it was still the President's House. And that's part of the little history lesson for you today. Miles Davis comes in now. We're going to play the Girl Ibanez. We're going to play Miles Davis, Kind of Blue, because it's the greatest jazz album in the history of jazz. And it had some of the greatest jazz musicians in the history of jazz. If you had two or three great trumpets, some say Miles, some say Louis Armstrong. Without question, Miles was an innovator beyond compare. Miles Davis on trumpet, John Coltrane, considered the greatest tenor saxophone of all time. Cannonball Adderley, another elite tenor saxophone player. Philly Joe Jones on drums. Paul Chambers was on bass. Bill Evans on the piano. So with that, we're going to play a little Miles Davis. I'll be right back with Mr. T.G., as we'll talk some football, and we'll be back in just a minute. Sports and Blog Talk Radio on the Trust in God Radio Network. Thank you.
Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. You're listening to Sports In Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley. Before him there was none, after him there shall be no more. You have the man that takes you inside what goes on in the world of sports. He's in the dugout. He's in the clubhouse. He's right by the water cooler. He is everywhere you need him to be to let you know what's going on. And also you listen to the movers and shakers in the world of sports. You are found the right place with the legendary Doc Stanley on Sports In Depth.
The legendary. I love it. What an intro.
And if I may say that the Sports In Depth Nation is here. The Sports In Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, good Doc.
Same here, my friend. You miss. Well, you know, it's the NFL. It's not Pee Wee, and it's not Little League. And if you're going to be anything special, you got to beat special teams. So it's a great opportunity for them. What they need to do is embrace the moment, embrace the opportunity. One win can lead to a second win, which can lead to a third, which can lead to a fourth. And so if you're able to match up against those kind of big boys, then what you're doing is setting yourself up to be a serious contender come December. So a lot of people don't see the connection between September and December. But for the Jets, it's a very clear connection. You play well in September, you're probably going to be a good December football team.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, that was a very odd situation because you get a guy who has a career year and win 10 games. Usually that's a guy that is in some sort of demand, but it was an unusual year also in the sense that he'd never done it before, not quite like that. And at his age, people are thinking that if he is to do it again, it'll be a limited number of times and that there's no links in going with him. So he fits the Jets. He's for the Jets. He's now back with the Jets. It'd be very interesting to see what happens here because he is a year older. He is a year more frail. And I'm going to be surprised if he lasts for 16 games. I think that they, as much as people have maligned Geno Smith, I look for him to be a central figure in this season because I don't see Ryan Fitzpatrick playing 16 games. Mm-hmm. Yes, true. And then play the last few games with a big bandage on his hand. And, you know, in this league, the players get younger and faster and stronger and bigger. And for the ones that get older, a lot of times, particularly at that quarterback position, it can become sitting ducks. And Ryan is not known for his scramble ability, although for his age and given, you know, the way he's played, he actually can move pretty well. You know, I think he'll be a target back there. There's no DeBrickashaw, you know, so, you know, that line may have some gelling to do. And it'll just be interesting to see how it all shakes down. I have a feeling that Geno Smith is going to be a big part of this season.
What it is. team.
Well, in the NFL, there is no such thing as too soon. As we've seen with the concussion issues and all that, you're erring on the side of safety when you get out of this game, even if you could play a year or two more. It's a violent game, and it's a serious game. And as you, you know, play beyond 8 years, 9 years, I mean, it really is time, except for very particular circumstances, to look back. I think the span of players playing, you know, 12, 14, 15, 16 years as they have in the past, I think we're going to see less and less of that. I think the guys will do what they can in a compact sort of time and then hang it up. Megatron just did that. Calvin Johnson, there's no question he can still play the game. The question was the desire, the risk still worth it to him? And I just spent some time with Bruce Smith in Virginia Beach. We're doing a video shoot with Bruce, and he's an interesting example of this in terms of 15 seasons with the Bills and four with Washington. That's what I'm saying. I don't think we're going to see those kind of 19-year careers as we move forward. I think those will be very rare.
GG, and I know you got to remember, how much of this deterioration is due to your ownership? I'm going to give TJ a 4-year, $60 million. Get back to 3 years, $30 million. But I don't want it to last. I don't understand why I can see $70 million in this place. That might spend $1 million a deal. That's been a big factor for deterioration of the longevity of players and
Many players will say that that's the case, and I've met very few who don't prefer the grass over the turf. Now, if you've got a speed team like the Rams had, the greatest show on turf with Falk and Isaac Bruce and all those guys, they love that turf because it gave them traction and they played a speed game. So there are instances where teams prefer the turf, but more and by and large, most of them prefer the grass. But, you know, owners own and owners choose. It's their field and it's their team, and they get to choose what they want. Most of them want turf, and so we have turf. And you know, it goes to a point where we're often hearing, even as it relates to Joey Bosa and this situation in San Diego, and how the Chargers are, you know, insisting on certain offset language in his contract and wanting, you know, certain things that he cannot go and they're choosing not to go along with it. So they've been at this impasse. And, the number 3 pick in the draft, not signed, not in camp, missing valuable time. And you have all these people coming out and saying, you know, oh, he's missing time and he's doing such a disservice and you know, he can take control of this and get this deal done and all of that. And again, it goes, my thinking goes to ownership. Well, ownership is causing him to miss time. You know, ownership is putting the turf in. Supposed to grass, so it's a dual situation. A lot of times everything seems to focus on the player. I don't think enough time ownership and the role of ownership in this game and the responsibility that they have to make the game click. A lot of them don't understand that they're just here for a short while. They're just here passing the torch. You know, they're not going to own the team for 100 years. They're going to own it for their lifespan. And I think more of them should be concerned about the legacy and the integrity of their ownership as opposed to the dollar and the day. That is true. It's really going to be interesting to see this because I think everybody should just go back and look at the numbers to really understand how the Patriots over the last decade and beyond have really dominated this AFC East. I mean, it is just amazing the fodder of these teams, the Jets and the Dolphins at Miami. Jets, Dolphins, and Bills. I mean, they've just trashed them, trampled them. over the years. I think the winning percentage in the division is over 80%. I mean, it's just ridiculous. So now here's this great opportunity, people think, to have maybe a chance for the first four games to make some hay and then make it last. But wouldn't it be so Patriots-like if Garoppolo comes out and he's better than Brady and they go 4-0? Ricky Sanders as part of the group receiving group they had and how he came on the scene. And Joe Gibbs once told me that we believed in Ricky Sanders when he started making plays against the Giants, because our feeling was if you can make plays against the Giants, then you can play against the rest of the league and you're going to help us win. So they were the measuring stick for each other. And so I think this is what Belichick has mastered and what some of the other teams maybe haven't figured out as well, is he has the team crafted to win his division, and he knows exactly how to beat Buffalo. He knows exactly how to beat the Jets. He knows exactly how to beat Miami, and he's tailored his personnel to do that. Maybe some of these other teams in this league ought to start looking at the key to beating the Patriots and start drafting to beat them, because if you can beat them, you can beat most. And one of the places they really should start is you had Josh McDaniels a few years ago go out to Denver to be the head coach of the Broncos. Josh was fired and is now back in New England as their offensive coordinator. But when Josh McDaniels was in Denver and Denver played the Patriots, Josh won the game against Belichick. He was a big hoopla, mentor against mentee, you know, the big hoodie against the little hoodie, you know, all of that. Josh won. If these coaches were smart, when the rest of the coaches from the AFC as smart as they think they are, they should break down every single play of that game and how Josh McDaniels attacked the Patriots. And that should be the game plan every one of these teams in the AFC should use. Absolutely.
RG, it's so good to see him back. Look at the way he was interviewed, the way he was mistreated. Super high guy.
Rookie of the year, really? I really agree with that, and it's good to see him with Hugh Jackson. It's sort of a quarterback whisperer. So you've got Hugh and RG3 linking their futures together. Hugh getting another chance to be head coach after being fired with the Raiders and going 8-8, which is a miracle in itself. Certainly deserve more. Absolutely, especially at that time, because they were a lot worse than they are even now. So Hugh gets another shot at head coach and RG3 gets another shot as a starting quarterback. So the two of them are linked together at the hip and are linked together mouth to ear and headset to headset. And it's going to be very interesting to see how they complement each other and how they both can bring each other to great heights. That's for sure. I'm good. We can spend a little more time. I tell you, I like what the Browns have done with Gordon. He is a supreme talent, but I think beyond that, they've been willing to work with him to try to get the best out of him and give him a chance to get himself together. And you know, hopefully this is an opportunity this time around where he will.
Okay, new head coach here. what you just said, that they could do a lot better. I think that's talking about shepherding.
The big question is who? Well, it's a big question. I mean, we just not going to know until we know. Because you take the type of injury he had, and then last year he was supposed to come back, and we're thinking he's going to come back, and he's on, and he never came back. And then this year it was, well, he's on schedule, and we think he can get into camp, and we think he'll be ready for training camp, and he's come out, and they've held him out, and they've brought him in, and he's out tonight, you know. And so it was a very serious injury. We don't know if he can get back to 100%, and they don't know, which is why they drafted Shepherd. They're not waiting on him. Shepherd is here, and he's going to play, and he's going to start, and he's probably going to start whether Cruz is healthy or not. So Victor's going to have to work his way, I think, back into the fold, and a big part of it is it's just a wait and see, show me. It's a show me type thing, I think, with the Giants and even with himself. Can he do it? Nobody knows. We're going to see.
That's a lot of money. I think is that Florida State that Jerry Reese is
Manning? Probably Jerry Reese more than Manning. Manning's not going anywhere, I don't think, because of the dollars invested and the fact he's Manning and the fact he's a quarterback. You know, all of those things are, you know, are there. And I think Jerry has a relationship with management and has proven himself here to the point where it's not a make or break year. I don't think the Giants operate that way with him, particularly. Although they need to improve, he knows it. They got to play better than 6-10. You know, you look at this division last year, and I was thinking about this a little bit earlier tonight. The Redskins won the division 9-7, and then you have the Eagles in second at 7-9. The Giants are 6-10, and Dallas is 4-12. So they are the only division of all the divisions in the NFL that did not have at least two teams that were 500 and better. So this division is certainly to be had. And all you have to do is play consistent football and competitive football, and you can win this division. And what we saw a little bit here in the first half with the Giants is alarming, because there was a little pattern here of the same kind of stuff, up 10-0 and playing well, and then all of a sudden big plays allow, mental mistakes, Ryan Nassib running with a football loose like it's a piece of luggage. He was a prime example of when they talk about the speed of the game. He hadn't played a lot, so in practice he can run around like that, and then he gets in the game and he's got backside pursuit. He has no feel for that whatsoever and got stripped. So the Giants last year scored 420 points and lead the NFC East by far. But they allowed 442 and lead the NFC East by far. So we saw the same thing. Score 10 points, you're up 10-0. Then you give it up more points than you score. And, you know, that's alarming. You don't want to see that. That's a cycle you want to break. No matter what happened, you didn't want to come out of this half starting fast, fading, or giving up more points than you score.
So, QT, you put Doc Snell gets blocked in the right state. You're talking about not so much on coverage.
Right. Yeah, you know, so old habits are hard to break. I do like this coach, though, and I do think he can break them. I think he's got the potential to change it. You are dealing with a lot of second and third string players all the way through. Excuse me. You are dealing with a lot of second and third string players all the way through. So that has something to do with what happened out here. But again, from a team concept and from a happenstance concept, you don't want to see that if you're the Giants. You do not want to see that happen. And I'm sure he's going to be addressing that. It'll be interesting to see as we go forward in the preseason if this is something they can revert. And it's going to work all the way up to Dallas. You know, when they play Dallas in the first game, you know, are you going to get out to 15, 16, 17, nothing lead and then blow it, you know, with a series of bonehead plays? Or are you going to be able to get a lead, maintain it, and put your foot on somebody's throat? You know, that's the element that's been missing here with the Giants and Tom Coughlin the last few years, is some kind of killer instinct and some time ability to finish And this is what this coach's main responsibility is. It's to not only start fast, which they did, but have some type of killer instinct in terms of finish. And, of course, it's hard to tell that with all the reserves and backups, but this is what we're going to be looking for as we move forward with this team.
Genius, man, yeah. Because, you know, it's a team, but, you know, I think we're going to they kill it.
Well, no Tony Romo, they're 4-12. And if they don't have him again this year, they'll be 4-12 again. He's that important to what they do.
And I told people, I remember a year or so, you talked about guys who are least. Tony Romo, one move, and guys will go through.
You got a great memory. Absolutely. He's a leader and a player. He makes a lot of plays.
Energized,
and they believe in him, and he has an affectionate relationship with the team. So he's the whole ball of wax. I mean, Ezekiel Elliott is a great addition to that offense. He really compliments Dez Bryant and the running game completely, and Romo. But Romo is the whole ball of wax, and if he stays healthy, they're going to be something to contend with. If he doesn't, they got some defensive problems, though, too, so they can score a lot of points and give up a lot, too. But the bottom line is they have no shot without that quarterback. So they need to keep him healthy, keep him upright, keep his shoulder in one piece, and then we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I remember,
who's that guy on the Giants, and who's that guy on the Jets, you think?
Just on. I mean,
what do you think Brandon Marshall fits in that arena? I didn't like the way they were expounding on it, particularly Brandon, talking about this was said and that was said, so I did this. We don't need to know that. And I don't think Rivas probably was too happy with him sharing that much of it as well. And this goes back to a thing with me about this team that I have a little bit of concern about, and that is the nature of Todd Bowles and how he handles things. Because Todd Bowles, to me, really does seem to have a blueprint for what he wants to do, but within that blueprint allows a great deal of freedom. And maybe that's what you have to do to some extent with today's NFL player. But all I know is twice when he faced Rex Ryan last year, he lost. And Rex Ryan is the guy he replaced. And the late Denny Green, the late and great, tremendous Denny Green, once told me, there's one thing you've got to do when you become an NFL head coach. He says you got to plan your work and work your plan. He says, and then when you play the guy that you replace or the guy that they thought about hiring instead of you, you have to whip his ass. That's what Denny Green used to always say. Because then your family is always wondering, well, why do we get rid of that guy? This guy can't beat that guy. And here's Todd Bowles going to his second year, swept by Rex Ryan. It's going to be a very interesting season just for the Jets alone. And they play Buffalo in week two, and Bruce Smith has his number retired. Week two, Thursday night football, the Jets are at Buffalo. Early on, we're going to see a very key component of the Jets season. Can Todd Bowles beat Rex Ryan? He hasn't.
And because he hasn't, he didn't make the playoffs.
Absolutely.
If he hasn't, he's open to it.
Yeah.
If he hasn't, there are a whole lot of questions. And sometimes, you know, silence is golden. Sometimes you get to say
something happens.
But my opinion is that they could have something to say.
There you go. Well, all I know is, as the leader of the team, he's got one there. He's got one guy punching his quarterback in the jaw, and the guy's obviously comfortable enough to do it. I know. I don't think a Bill Belichick player would do that, and not know that there wouldn't be some, you know. And then you got a situation where the playoffs are on the line, and you're going up to play a team that has no shot, and you just get totally outclassed, totally outplayed on the road in the last game of the season.
And I think it was the guy that did it, right?
I think you did. So it's been 10 wins, great turnaround. I give him a lot of credit, a likable man. But I see things with them, a fabric with them that I wonder about the whole setup and how strong the foundation is and how far it can really go to be great. And those are questions that he's going to have to answer as he moves forward, and he's going to have to answer them early, like I said, in week two when they go up there to play. Because I guarantee you, if he loses twice again to Rex Ryan this year, he's going to hear it in New York like he's never heard it before. Absolutely. Well, you just hope that isn't the case for them. You hope that, you know, Cincinnati's a better team than they are. So I expect the Bengals to beat them. But I expect them to go into Buffalo and be able to win that game. I mean, they've just got too much on the line to not win that game. And Buffalo's not great. They've just outplayed them twice, and they've outcoached them twice. So he needs to get his team ready to play, and they need to go in there and win that game.
You're talking about all-time stack, the greatest football players who played the game, one of the greatest football Bills who played the game. How much does it
like? Oh, yeah, it's going to be huge. Huge. You know, it's interesting. Well, that's definitely going to be the Bills' approach. You know, Rex is hungry. You know, when he sees green, he sees red.
You know, it might as well be blood.
Rex is red. Hey, this team may not play for 14 games anyway, but that was two against the Jets. He's going to have ready to play now. Yeah. And the thing about the Bruce situation is the Bills have only retired one other number, Jim Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
So here we go with 78 with Bruce Smith, and it's going to be a really big thing for his family and for him. There are 303 players who are in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Fewer than half of them have their jerseys retired by their franchise. We're talking the elite of the elite.
And one of the guys we know is definitely Jim Brown.
Yeah. He's in. But yeah, the elite of the league. Bruce is joining the elite of the league. In the Hall of Fame is elite. No. Of the in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. There are 303 in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Fewer than half have their jerseys retired by their franchise. Fewer than half. Yes. So Bruce is joining that number. The elite of the elite.
I know you got to go.
Hey, the same, brother. Great love.
Always his family. You would think that 80% of the guys would have to. What do you say? No. Bruce was a big buddy of mine, big boxing fan. We look at the Jim said Jews and Judge, so we're going to give some money. But he was not going to close out. Stop saying he's putting the block up there. Trust in God. Network, let's play.
This is Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media, and you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to the Giants 27.
Olha que coisa mais linda, mais cheia de graça. Bela menina que vem, que passa. Um doce balanço caminho do mar. Moça do corpo dourado, do sol de Ipanema. O seu balançado é mais que um poema. É a coisa mais linda que eu já vi passar. Ah, por que estou tão sozinho? Ah, por que tudo é tão triste? Ah, beleza que existe. Ah, beleza. Que não é só minha, que também passa sozinha. Ah, se ela soubesse que quando ela passa, o mundo sorrindo se enche de graça, que fica mais lindo por causa do amor. When she passes, each one she passes goes.
Great Bruce Smith. Great, but good boxing, guys. Bobby Charlie joined us. 1715. Talking football. Jalen Olympics. So. Doing so grand, yeah.
Turnovers, a lot of guys that you probably won't be here, and I spent a lot of time just trying to figure out who's who out there. But on a positive, you know, that first drive the Giants had, they did establish a good push with their offensive line. If you recall last year, running the ball was a problem for them until late in the season, and one of the keys around running is that you get some consistency in your offensive line. Well, I know a lot of fans are not happy with Marshall Newhouse and John Jerry playing the right guard and the right tackle position. This will be their second year together, and actually all five of those players, including Flowers, Richburg, Hugh, Newhouse, and Jerry, this will be their second year together, and it says a lot about consistency. And they punched the ball in after on that first drive for Rashad Jennings. I wouldn't actually say insurance. You know, the game of football is you're always looking for talent out there. So you know, he's had a phenomenal college career. You know, his father was a big time player in Oklahoma, and as a kid, he just holds on to the ball, and he's very sharp in his route running. He knows his assignment. He's a tough kid out there. He actually should have had a couple of could have had a touchdown tonight if Ryan Nassib, the backup quarterback, learned how to throw a fade pattern because he throws the ball flat instead of getting some arch on it. Shepard did a nice job getting a release on the snap, got a step behind his man, and Nassib threw it underneath him for an interception. So he's going to be good, and if Cruz does come back, that gives the Giants three potent receivers. But if he doesn't come back, then the Giants will have a nice complement to Odell Beckham, who will demand a double team. So
that's the thing too. Better have some
pressure. Well, you know, remember last year you got a nice pleasant surprise with Dwayne Harris, who came over from the Cowboys. He ended up playing that third receiver out there, even though Reuben Randall didn't do a very good job as a number two receiver. So you still got Dwayne Harris out there in case they need to get that third receiver out there. Jeremy Davis, who they drafted last year, so he's a second-year player. He's shown a little bit in training camp. And then they have a couple of other guys that are unnamed. You know, no one really knows much about them. Miles White has been in the league for a while. I think he actually has improved his game. He's very familiar with the Ben McAdoo offense. He's played with the Packers. And then you also got some young kids. Roger Lewis from Bowling Green is one to look at, number 82. So I do think they have some depth in the event that Victor can't come back. But I do think Victor will come back. Right now he's battling a little sore groin, which is pretty typical when, you know, in early in preseason, people get the little hamstring soreness, the knee soreness, the groin soreness. So they're going to take it easy on him, and we'll see. So, but he is in very good shape, I have to say. Seeing Victor up close personal, he's in very good shape. Well, the defense was, this is no excuse for the way they played defensively, other than the fact that they did not have a lot of quality players out there. And Jerry went and got a lot of guys this year. He spent over $200 million in free agency, much of it on the defensive end. So starting up front, getting big Damon Snacks Harrison over from the Jets is a big acquisition, along with Olivia Vernon from the Miami Dolphins, who gives him some speed rushing. So if you go back to the last Super Bowl, the last couple of Super Bowls under Coughlin, they had a very, very good pass rush that they can run four guys. And it says a lot when your defensive line, you don't need to send your linebacker. You don't have to send your defensive back when your line can hold their own out there. So between Snacks Harrison and Jonathan Hankins, they will plug the middle. They will command double team, and that will create some space for JPP, who I can tell you he has come back with a focus. And I always remember something that Justin Tuch said when he was here is that JPP can be one of the best. He said he can be better than Tuck. He can be better than Strahan. He can be better than OC was out there. He had such untapped potential, and he was just still trying to learn the game. He's come back dedicated. He's come back humbled. He's come back hungry to actually show and appreciate that he does love this game of football out there. So between him and Vernon on the end, with speed and power, and then you got the two big guys in the middle, I think that they've done a great job with their front four. The question is always going to be linebackers. Do they have enough guys athletic enough and tough enough in their linebacker position? But you asked about the defensive back. They do have the safety, Darian Thompson, the number 3 draft pick out of Boise State, who right now is at the top of the depth chart. And it's possible that he and Landon Collins, the number 2 pick from last year from Alabama, will be your starting safeties. They're athletic, they're big, they tackle, and from all the reports in training camp right now, Darian Thompson doesn't let anything get behind him, which is very important when you're playing that free safety position. Well, I think every year you'll get people who are on a hot seat out there. So, you know, given the last 3 years here where they have underachieved and didn't always quite have the enough depth, and I think he gambled a bit in certain positions, hoping some of these youngsters would mature, and unfortunately those youngsters actually got hurt. So I would say if they don't have a good run to the playoffs, and I do think that, you know, John Mara will have to look elsewhere and just say, you know, love you, Jerry, but we probably got to get a fresh set of eyes in here. But I can tell you he's given them every opportunity to turn this team around because they have some young athletic players out there. But you also got to keep in mind you have a first-year head coach, Ben McAdoo, while he's been in the league. There's not a lot of first-year head coaches who can step up from a coordinator position, master, and get everybody on the same page as well as so he's trying to get his philosophy in. There's a lot of different assistant coaches. So there's a lot of newness that's out there. And trying to, you know, they may not have enough time to actually gel. So, you know, it'll be interesting, but they definitely have a lot more talent on this roster this year than they had in the past. Yeah, you know, so I don't go crazy over schedule, especially early in preseason. And for this same reason, right, because really what you have to do is you want to stay competitive in your division. So, you know, they got New England out there. They'll get a little bit of gift with Brady not starting the season. So you got to hope that New England doesn't come out strong. You got to deal with Miami in their conference. You got to deal with Rex and Buffalo out there. So the first thing I look at in their schedule is how close can they stay to their division, because – we've seen in previous years, there were teams that were under 500, but they won their division and got in the playoffs. And that's what's important, is getting in the playoffs and playing well at the end of the season. One of the problems that the Jets had last year is they got off in a decent start, but they faded down the end. They, you know, losing that game at the end of the season to Buffalo was just inexcusable out there. And again, back to the Giants, when they won their Super Bowls, they didn't have the greatest regular season record, but they got hot down the stretch. So that's what I look at. So, you know, on any given Sunday, somebody could beat you. So I don't go too crazy over the schedule. As long as they do what they're supposed to do at home and do what they're supposed to do in the division, they will have a good shot to be there. I'm a big Olympic fan. I think it's fantastic to watch individuals who just live out a dream and devote themselves and give so much to their country. In our political environment we're in right now, with all this nonsense and rhetoric around, you know, people not being patriotic and everything like that, I just said, just look at the Olympics, and you see people of all different backgrounds who come up. I mean, we've had the first African American woman who actually won a gold medal in swimming the other night, and which is just outstanding. And she was supporting her country. And then you look at a multimillionaire NBA player like Carmelo Anthony, who takes great pride in representing his country. You know, so I get into it. You know, and being a person who many, and I add many years ago, was athletic and could run track, I still have an affinity for the track and field. So it's all preliminaries right now. I was able to see earlier today a world record in the 10K. Akemi Ayana from Ethiopia. She just shattered a record. She ran the 10,000 meter race, which is 25 laps. Everybody listening, I did 25 laps around the track. And she beat the record by over 14 seconds and looked strong doing it. I mean, lapped almost the whole field. There were 36 other women running in this race, and she lapped almost every single one of them out there. So it was just amazing out there. So you got some preliminaries, the men's 800, the 400 meter. Karani Jones from he's running the 400 from Grenada. He won the Olympics in 4 years ago in London. He is the on-course famous to run the 400, and he just ran one of the easiest 44-second 400 meters that I've seen out there. I mean, he pulled up. He clearly could have ran close to 41 on it if he didn't pull up.
We also got the world's greatest gym.
Well, yeah, you know, another Simone, you know. So, you know, we had the two Simones out there, one in the swimming pool, and the gymnast out there, 4'8", Simone Biles. And I just love to see her on a basketball court as high as she jumps. I'm sure she can do a somersault and jam and stuff the basketball. So. Oh yeah, I mean they put on a show out there, you know, to, and again, these young women who are living out their dreams and representing their country, and it was just a very diverse team for representing the United States, which is just great. So I do, and but it's always a pleasure, and I'm sure as the season's about to kick off, we'll spend some more time together there. All right, closing thoughts. Well, my closing thoughts is everybody enjoy the rest of your summer, because football season is here, and that will consume everyone's time. And right after that, we'll be in basketball season. We'll be finishing the World Series. And so the fall will be very, very busy if you're a sports head. So enjoy your summer right now, everybody. The greatest. Oh, Brady's four games? Well, it will, right? Because he has there's a couple of division games that they have in there. They have to play Miami, they have to play Buffalo in those four games. And so on paper, they're better than those teams. But anything in your division is you know, your division foes step up for you out there. So, you know, if they end up 2-2 in those first four games, you know, it gives everybody a shot in the division. All right. Good talk to you there, Doc. All right. You got it.
Se ela soubesse que quando ela passa, o mundo sorrindo se enche de graça e fica mais lindo por causa do amor. Tall and thin and young and lovely, the girl from Ipanema goes walking, and when she passes, each one she passes goes ah. When she walks, like a samba that swings so cool and sways so gently, that when she passes, each one she passes goes ah. Oh, but he watched her so sadly. How can he tell her he loves her?
Go ahead, jump shot.
And Bobby's not getting sour.
Updates? Yeah, go ahead, Jim Chat. Yeah. Let's talk something about that grando. Yeah, let's talk about that grando, Jim Chat.
A blessing. Truly a blessing, you know, for our family today. You know, God is so good. The next generation. You know, for our family.